ओम ज्ञानच निरंधस्य ज्ञानंजन शलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
Ajamil, who recognizes his position to have been adham, most fallen, is proposing a change of heart for himself. He was considering his position to be very vulnerable. Of course, nowadays, anyone behaving like Ajamil would be considered quite a decent, normal. He dumped his wife and picked up someone else's, a drunkard, a meat eater, did a little cheating and stealing here and there, and
немножко обманывает.
About to maintain your family. But according to the Vedic standard, he's fallen rascal. Of course, you're preaching in the world and distributing these books in which people are reading well. Actually, I'm a sinful rascal, according to this standard. Some people don't like that. But actually, there is a standard of correct behavior. Our modern society is based on humanistic values, not divine values. So humanistic values, they may shift according to each human, whereas divine values are given by God, and they remain the same either in any age, in any part of the universe. They are the standards given by God are the absolute standard, the proper standard for human being. Which means that according to the standards given by God, as presented in Shastra, that one should not behave like Ajamil previously. In modern society, people who think themselves ethical, they agree that we should act according to moral principles. But because their society is devoid of a sense of surrender to God, therefore their moral principles are ultimately based on sense gratification. Ajamil fell down because of attraction to a shameless woman who was publicly kissing a shameless rascal. They were both drunk, and she was exhibiting parts of her body. So this is most abominable behavior. But in modern society, it's considered quite normal. I was coming on a flight yesterday, and several of the respectable gentlemen, businessmen on the plane, were not completely, but at least well drunk. They're all dressed in their suits and very nicely, and with their briefcases, which they kept on dropping because they couldn't hold them properly. So this is considered quite normal behavior of the upper crust of society, the upper section of society. So people think, well, this is okay, this is acceptable, this is normal Russian behavior or American behavior or whatever. But people don't know that they will get a reaction from this. What a sinful man. Just like Ajamil, he was living what he thought was a very happy life, when all of a sudden he saw the Yamadutas come to take him away to the next phase of his life, which wasn't going to be very happy. So Ajamil could have protested, it's not fair. I didn't do anything wrong. A little cheating and stealing and bluffing and blackmailing here and there, but you know, that's normal. And you know, I dropped one wife and picked up this prostitute, but what's the problem? You know, one woman's the same as another. However, Yamaraj doesn't, when he discusses with the persons brought in for punishment, he doesn't discuss with them on the basis of what do you think are moral principles. Let's have a discussion with Yamaraj. The only discussion is which hell and for how long. So people may be shocked in modern society when things go wrong. For instance, there were so many good, normal, respectable, decent, moral American citizens assiduously doing their daily work in the World Trade Center, thinking that, yes, we are doing the right thing for ourselves, for our families, for America. And someone else had the idea that we want to do the right thing for the Arab world. And quite unexpectedly, several thousand people were subjected to a very hellish condition of life. Just like Ajamil wasn't expecting that all of a sudden he would have these nasty, horrible people coming to drag him away. He wasn't expecting that. Similarly, the people who are doing the daily chores in the offices, they weren't expecting that all of a sudden he would have such a horrible fate. And the world is outraged at how there could be such a diabolical activity directed against innocent people. However, we have to consider that nothing happens by chance. People are suffering and will suffer because of sinful activities. People are very much outraged at the terrorist activities directed against innocent people, but they do not consider the terrorism legally sponsored by the state against poor innocent animals. Animals are, in America and most countries of the world, are tortured and mistreated throughout their lives and then simply slaughtered. So those who are followers of the Vedic culture know that there must be a reaction for these sinful activities. Meat eating, gambling, illicit sex, intoxication, these are all very sinful activities. And there must be karmic reactions to these sinful activities. That one will get either in this life or after leaving this body. Sometimes we hear, well, such and such a person died peacefully in his sleep. But those who know of the law of karma know that he may have died peacefully in his sleep, but what happened after that will not be very peaceful for him. So you may think that, well, we should respond with revenge and clear the world of terrorists, but of course although such people who make such attacks on demons, we should consider that actually man is the architect of his own fortune, of his own destiny. Now there's definitely a very strong tendency among karmis that when the sivas start rattling, you know that saying? It means the swords, they start clashing against each other. In other words, when they start to fight and blow the trumpets and all this, they get very much caught up in this war spirit.
So?
Yeah, so translate it. Yeah, well, we're going to have to explain it in the next moment. This war spirit, it's another kind of intoxication of Maya, by which people very willingly and enthusiastically place themselves in a situation where they're likely to be killed for my country. And this intoxication is very strong. Even devotees can get caught up in it. As I saw, one time I arrived in Mayapur for the festival, and at that time America had, I think that very day the news came that they'd completely smashed the Iraqis and driven them out of Kuwait. I saw one devotee from America who had been listening to the radio, and he was very happily saying, "We smashed them, we finished them up." That very strong tendency to identify with the land of our birth becomes even stronger when there's a fight. So devotees, those who are studying Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, they are supposed to think and act on the platform of knowledge. Just like here, Ajamil is speaking about becoming Sarva-Bhuta Suhrit, the very good friend of every human being. That is possible when one gives up the concept of identifying with the body. When one identifies with the body, then he thinks that he takes others to be competitors for the resources which can be enjoyed by the body. But when one gives up the sense of identification with the body, then he's not captured by the many different tricks of Maya which begin with identification. Particularly when one identifies with the body, then he desires to enjoy other bodies. Then he becomes entangled by Maya in the form of a woman. Yoshit Maya. It's actually a great foolishness. One who sees from the platform of knowledge can see that it's actually ridiculous. But people who don't have spiritual knowledge, even they may be very intelligent from a material point of view, they act very foolishly, being impelled by lust. Yesterday, even in class here in the temple, and there was some particularly lusty young woman in the temple room. I don't know how she wanted to do that.
You were giving
the class. Yeah, I was giving the class.
You did it.
Yeah. And you could see she had this whole, you know, every movement and looking, just thinking, who's going to look at me? Her whole consciousness is just, how can I attract not even somebody, but everybody? It looks particularly out of place being in the, among all the devotees. So here it said that Ajamila is saying that one becomes like a controlled animal when he becomes subject, or when he becomes, when he accepts lusty desires. Now he's looking back at his previous life and realizing how abominable he was, how fallen I was. He couldn't see that previously. Now by the grace of the Vishnu Dutas, he can see what was his position. He can see that which position he would actually like to attain to. Here the words are mentioned: bandham, avidya, karma, bondage, ignorance, lust. These three terms, they all go together. That one is bound up in this material world due to ignorance, which manifests as lusty desires. Then the next word, karma, then one becomes involved in activities to try to satisfy those material desires. And so the cycle goes on.
Продолжается этот круговорот.
Due to material desires, one performs materialistic activities. And everything anyone in material consciousness does, everything he sees, everything he touches, feels, tastes, smells, every impression, that makes what is called a samskara, like an impression in his consciousness.
Samskara.
So that all accumulates in his consciousness. And the way the accumulated effect of these samskaras, that makes what is called his vritti, which means his whole outlook on life. And then, according to the vritti, there are so many vasanas, or so many desires, huge stockpile of desires deep in the consciousness, which come out one after the other, one after the other, one after the other. Hoya maya das karinana obhilash. And one becomes a servant of maya, then he has many, 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 many desires to fulfill. So when he's trying to fulfill these desires, again he acts in certain ways, and he interacts with this material world, and again sees, touches, feels, tastes, smells, and hears, and again more and more impressions are stored up in his heart. And so one's consciousness is affected even from impressions which may have been made many, many lives previously. So it's like an unending cycle. And how to break it? What to do? It's like the Gordian knot. You know that story? Alexander the Great. Knot. And they say, whoever can untie this will conquer. Whoever can open this will break it and conquer the world. So many people came, they couldn't do it. A young boy, Alexander, came, got his sword and cut it. So that's the only way. That's stated in Gita also. It was that Nirmana Mohadi the Sangha Shah. Next verse has the thing I'm looking for. Sorry, I don't remember. Well, we can look it up. Gachantya Murha Padam Abhyam Tat. Then.
Chindanti.
Yeah, that's the Chindanti.
Number three.
Ah, this is it, yes. It's describing the tree of the material world, which is so complex. Narupa Masyehatitopa Labyate Nanto Nachadeya Nacha Samputishta. No one can find out No one can define, properly define this tree of the material world. No one can find the beginning or the end or the middle or anything. Ashvatamenam suvirudhamodam asangashastrena dirdhena chitva. So one should cut this tree of material attachment at its very root. Cut it with the sword of detachment. When one realizes that there's nothing of any value for me in this material world, simply it is a place of suffering, and then one becomes renounced from the desire to enjoy this material world. Then one cuts the tree of ignorance and desire at the very root. Of course, the root is very strong and very thick, so our sword has to be very sharp. And we may have to hack away many times. Termination. Even then, Maya is very difficult to overcome. So we have to take help from Krishna and Balaram. Become detached from this material world. Even by intelligence, one can understand that this material world is, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no better than a hole into which people put a stool, which is a very apt description. So one may understand this, but nevertheless, you're attracted to stool. You see, the flies are attracted to stool. So it's like that. We read in Bhagavatam, yes, now I see, I'm just like a pet dog, which is carried around by Maya. But then again, we think, well, playing with Maya is not so bad. Fun, actually. So it's difficult to get free from Maya. So only by the very strong determination can we become free. Sometimes, you see, it's just like there's intense suffering. Sometimes that is arranged by Maya just to help people to wake up from their ignorance. We find in Srila Prabhupada's early Bhaktivedanta magazine, Prabhupada commenting how at the end of the Second World War, many people in the Western countries are asking, where did we go wrong? We forgot God. We have to turn back to God. Of course, it didn't take them very long after the end of the Second World War to forget about going back to God. But the great material suffering, that can be seen also as a gift of Maya to help us to wake up. Just like Ajamil, he got a great shock and he got the chance to go back and become purified. So that was Lord Vishnu's great mercy on him. Maya also means mercy. Maya is also mother. So the punishments of Maya, they are actually like the punishments of a mother. They may be quite severe, but they are meant to wake us up to our real consciousness. A devotee should see everything in this world through the eyes of Shastra. They understand that suffering and calamities and even great international wars, it's all simply the play of Maya. Especially in these modern wars between demons, no one is actually right and no or wrong, and they're both wrong. They are both instrumental in inflicting the results of sinful activities on each other and on themselves. The devotees should also know that actually nothing can be solved by such fighting. But the real solution is to bring people to the platform of Krishna consciousness. The devotee knows that as long as people are not Krishna conscious, then they must suffer in various ways and inflict suffering on others due to envy. Therefore, the devotees, they know that the real solution to the world's problems is not this adjustment or that adjustment or killing that person or fighting this war, but chanting Hare Krishna, spreading the chanting Hare Krishna. The devotee doesn't hate any party in any conflict, but he is Sarvabhuta Suhrit, he is friend to all living beings, and he therefore tries to spread Krishna consciousness to all living beings. Prabhupada clearly states here, one who is interested in his own salvation is not as advanced in Krishna consciousness as one who feels compassion for others and therefore propagates the Krishna consciousness movement. So we should always remember that. I see among many devotees in Russia there is a strong desire to become advanced in Krishna consciousness. Devotees have many questions related to their personal advancement, which is laudable. We congratulate you for your sincere desire to advance in Krishna consciousness and ask that also be imbued with such a mood. However, we should remember that our movement is not simply meant for our own advancement, but it's meant for spreading Krishna consciousness to others also. And if we want to be advanced, then we should take up the activities of preaching, which Prabhupada states here is the activities of advanced devotees. Prayena deva manayos spavi bhakti kama monam chavanti vijane naparartha nishtaha naitan vihaya vimksho naitan vihaya vimksho again, not much. I must say that. Anyway, this is a verse which Prabhupada often quoted. There are many saintly persons indeed who are simply interested in their own spiritual advancement, their own liberation, and who therefore go to the hills and forests for meditation, following vows and silence. They are not interested in the welfare of others, naparartha nishtha. But Prahlad Maharaj said, I am not in the same room. I am interested in the delivering the fools and rascals. Maya sukhanagar mudvahato vimunha. I am interested in saving the fools and rascals who are simply suffering in material life. So if we want to become advanced in spiritual life, we should definitely study these books, understand what is the situation, study the, follow the principles of sadhana bhakti, avoid material life,
избегать материальной жизни.
But also preach Krishna consciousness. There's tremendous scope. From what I can see, many people in Russia, now they know about this movement, they appreciate it. I was just in Perm, I was walking around the area of the temple, chanting my rounds, and several people calling out, Hare Krishna, I'd love to see Hare Krishna. And at the airport, some of the businessmen and women who were drunk came and took some prasad from us and asked so many questions. Yeah. The was delivered. So we can understand there's good scope for spreading Krishna consciousness.
Krishna.
We should try to do so. We should understand that these descriptions in the Bhagavatam, they're not simply fictitious. They're not fictitious, they're factual. Shukadeva Goswami is narrating the story of Ajamil in reply to Parikshit Maharaj's compassionate query about the fate of the living beings who have to go to hell, as described in the end of the fifth canto. So it is a fact that people have to suffer hellish punishments, maybe as a result of terrorist attack, or maybe they'll be under the American bombs that get dropped, or maybe they will lead a peaceful life and peacefully die in bed and then go to see Yamaraj. But it is a fact that everyone in this modern, practically everyone, is very simple and everyone has to suffer. So devotees should do whatever they can do to deliver Krishna consciousness to us. You see, Prabhupada's mood was so intense, how much he was stressing that we have to preach, we have to produce books, distribute books, open new centers. Prabhupada was preaching so strongly, using language like fools, rascals, asses, dogs, cats, nonsense, because he wanted to wake people up from their ignorance before it was too late. Once we leave this human body, then it may be many, 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 many lifetimes before we again get the chance. So even in the apparent peaceful time, peacetime, Prabhupada saw there is a great emergency. The emergency is that ahani ahani bhutani gacchanti harimali. Every day, so many thousands of people are going to Yamaraj. So Prabhupada was himself pushing himself and pushing his disciples. You have to preach this Krishna consciousness. This Hari Keshe Maharaj, although he's in a different situation now, he told the story of how Prabhupada forced him to go to Russia. He was trying to make so many excuses. He said, well, they won't kind of make so many excuses. He said, well,